Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome everybody to another episode of Closer Encounters, the show where you, the listener, is also the guest. I am your host, Clarence Mitchell, coming to you live from somewhere in Minnesota. Closer Encounters is streaming live from Blog Talk Radio. We are also live on Facebook, YouTube, and Google Hangouts. All of our newest updates, check us out on Facebook at www.facebook.com/Closer Encounters Radio. Don't forget to like, follow, and share. Would you like to be a special guest on Closer Encounters? Or do you know somebody that would like to be a special guest on Closer Encounters? Then just shoot us an email at closerencounters.info@gmail.com. That's closerencounters.info@gmail.com. Have you ever witnessed a UFO? Or seen something that you just cannot explain? Or maybe you've had your very own closer encounter. You believe in the ancient alien theory? We talk about this and much, much more. If you have a story, or maybe a question that you'd like to get answered, give us a call. The number here is 347-989-1008. Again, the number 347-989-1008. Give us a call here at Closer Encounters. I'd love to talk to you.
Hello? Can you hear me? I cannot hear you. Hello, hello, hello. I cannot hear you. Can you hear me? Okay. I'm holding tight right here. I have about a 20 second delay.
Everybody else can hear you.
Huh. A Well, you can hear me, but I can't hear you. It sure is. It's always something. Something.
I guarantee you it's not me. It's got to be them. Oh, hang on here for a second.
I'm still here. I'm still holding tight with you. I'm watching on Facebook also, but there's a 20-minute or 20-second delay.
Now,
anything? Nope. Okay. All right. I got you.
It doesn't come back. Things work is fine. But you know, this is what happened. So like I said, I had to redo everything here just in case it's all hardwired.
I still don't have.
Hello, check. Oh, okay. I bet you it's going to work this time. Now I am on the other microphone. I may have to switch out mics here. think is what's going to have to happen. Oh, I see we have a couple other. Andre, he's with us here. Linnea, Dawn, Paul, how are you? Good to see you. Christopher, very good to see you. I'm really sorry, folks, that we're having this kind of issue, but we'll see what happens. Cross your fingers. We got Tim back. Let's see if we can get him. Mr. Collard, hello, sir.
Hey, we got it, man. All right.
There we go. Unbelievable.
Okay.
Unbelievable. It never fails, bro. I'm telling you, every episode we have, we got something, one thing or another. And I know it's not on my end, you know?
Yep.
It's just crazy.
Yep.
Unbelievable.
Well, you know, it's strange. You know, we have all this technology at our fingertips, but yet it's like there's some kind of a mad scientist or something in charge of it all, you know, and if you go a little bit out of the normal or off the mainstream regurgitation that we're given in our schools and our universities, we go off that causes some type of a fluctuation, and they'll mess with you, man. It's not a conspiracy theory or anything. It's something that's real. It's something that really goes on. I mean, when you have these scientists that are in these special think labs that are doing this extraordinary work, they end up dying off in mysterious circumstances. Stand back and look at it and go, it could be just life happening. But on the other hand, I think there's much more to it, because you have 22 scientists that have died in the last 7 years. I'll say questionable circumstances to their death. They didn't die of so-called natural causes. They were young, vibrant people who were basically healthy. Well, I won't say young, but they were middle-aged to, you know, someone in their 50s. But, you know, they just die of all of a sudden. You know, they've never had any history of heart attacks or anything in their family or themselves, and all of a sudden they just die of a heart attack. Boom. You know, makes you wonder. Makes you think about it, you know. And that's something that I've always been kind of cautious about, speaking out and opening up about, you know, the things that I've seen, things that I have witnessed, that I've seen firsthand. First of all, when I go to tell my friends and people around me, they all look at me like I'm, first of all, I've just lost my head, or that I've, you know, what kind of mushrooms was I eating? Was I eating mushrooms, or what was I doing? You know, what was I smoking, or what was I, you know, what was I taking? And I wouldn't take anything, you know. But then I opened up to him. I opened up to him, and a lot of people want to, you know, they laugh at me, or they'll say, you know, something ridiculous. And then, then you have, other people who, I've gotten the most amount of grief, and have been, sidelined pretty much a lot of the times, by people who go to church, who call themselves churchy type people. Because, you know, they take what, if I speak anything about what we talk about, anything about, you know, ancient civilization having high technology, you know, super high tech, you know, more than what we have today, they think that I'm, right. You know, that I'm speaking blasphemously, that I'm going against the word of God or whatever, you know. And I'm like, wait a minute, hey, what, you know, how can you come at me like this, you know, when I'm, you know, I'm not, that's not even, that's the furthest thing away from my mind about that, you know. It's something around that line, you know. It, I don't know. It just causes a lot of grief and a lot of things. But like last night's show, Jeff was speaking about, you know, he himself has to be careful about what he, you know, about what he says to, around certain people, you know, and and how much he opens up about, you know. But I am definitely super excited that we have so many people that are doing the research, doing the study, doing the groundwork to bring about these lost and forgot about technologies. And a lot of it has to do with Tesla's theories and his inventions and all that stuff, you know, and what happened to all of his drawings and his writings and everything, you know, after he died, you know, they just disappeared, you know, they're gone.
Money is all about money. That's what it was all about mostly.
I don't think
it was so much. I don't think it was so much about stealing the technology part as it was about, you know, keeping it for wealth, you know.
Right.
But there again, it both goes together in a sense. But, you know, but yeah, it definitely makes you wonder, you know. But they wouldn't want free energy. We know that. So we you know, got that figured out. But,
yeah.
Yeah. Damn thing. But, as far as Mark goes, you know, we had him on our last show there a couple nights ago, and, you know, he brought up some pretty interesting stuff, you know, at Point Doom and whatever. And, of course, did you see the structures that I put picture up on, the Mars structure, you know?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Yeah. I've seen that.
Now, I see pictures like this a lot that come from the internet and things like this. And, call me skeptical, call me whatever. Sometimes you really, there are such things being covered up, you know, it's the moon landing and stuff, you know, people talk about it, and there's things around the moon that NASA tried to cover up and blah, 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 you know. I don't know what to make of it sometimes. I really don't. I would like to believe that there was life on other planets close by, and because of certain circumstances, you know, they wound up here to the Earth, and we're like the last one, you know, that they have done anything with. It's a good possibility, and the rest of these planets out there, they either got too cold or too hot or whatever, you know, could sustain life anymore, and they moved here. Which would make more sense to me, you know, in a way. Or was this the only inhabitable planet at the time? You know, who really knows?
Well, I don't know. That's something I've always been in a big question about was, you know, everyone asks the question, why are we here? Where did we come from? What's our true roots? What's our true history of the human species? You know, because what we're being taught and what we're being told in schools and from the scientists and from the archaeologists and the anthropologists is all just crock. It doesn't make any sense. Actually, it really
it doesn't
fit. So I started looking at this from a different perspective and coming at it from somebody that's not from here, looking at how we are, looking at how we deal with situations and how we deal with things and how we're under control, how our movements, our thoughts, our way of thinking is controlled. Or to how we are being led to believe that everything they tell us is the truth, and it doesn't make any sense. And you know, I've said this time and time again. We have so much more that we have to learn, and it, much more we have to learn than what we know. We're going in the right direction, and we've got everything turning, and all the gears going in the right direction that way. But we have these threats coming at us from all these organizations and these people and governments and everything, you know, that are lying to us, you know. And you know, I went last night. I watched the presentation of Richard Hoagland's about what China's doing on the moon, and it was from like 4 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago.
Right.
And but it gives a real good history of what NASA has seen and what NASA knows about, and they are not letting out. They're not divulging the truth of what was really found on the moon and what's really there. Now, with more and more people are getting these Celestion telescopes, or those Celestion style telescopes, and all that name brand, but along that same type, and big barreled, high resolution optics, and you can look in on the moon, and all we can see is the side that faces us. But there are people that I've talked to that on a new moon, during a new moon, when you can see the dark side of the moon, they have seen things on the moon that cannot be explained. And that is the part that really excites me. Yeah, during we're on the waning or the waxing end of the we're going towards a full moon right now. I think full moon will be Tuesday or Wednesday. I think on Halloween. I think
this is the full moon. Yeah, November 4th.
November 4th. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. 4th. So it won't be until. The next lunar cycle. But if you want to stay up late at night, now you can catch some the last lunar cycle at the end of it, at the waning side of it, you know. My ex and my ex was up here visiting us, and we spent a lot of time out talking, and we were outside at 3:30 in the morning, and it was just absolutely one of the most picture perfect nights, moment in time. We had a crescent moon, you know, on the end of, you know, one of the last nights of a moon. You know, it was going towards a no moon or a new moon era of the time. But it was just, oh my gosh, Clarence, it took my breath away, man. You had the constellation of Orion right there, and then right just below that was the crescent moon, and you could see the dark side of the moon, and then the constellation being right there. And I was talking with her and pointing out their Ceres, pointing out Ceres and I cannot remember all the stars, the belt of Orion, but they're Mantaka, Minlata, I don't know. They all three start with an M, I believe, all three of the stars. But I was telling her how it's, showing her where the stars are at and which way it's, where the head is at and where the feet are at, you know. So they're laying on its side. Basically, the constellation itself is laying on its side. But It was just unbelievable, man. I really was taken aback by how much I have known and how much knowledge I have And what can I do with this? You know, what can I do with all this knowledge that I have stored up? You know, I need to do something with it, you know. I don't want it to just go to waste, you know. So that's it's coming into full circle here. All the information is coming around and everything's happening and everything is coming into place where it's perfect time for me to do this and to write a book and to publish these, all this stuff, you know. But it's incredible, though. I mean, I'm getting off track, but that morning, at 3 o'clock in the morning, you can see the dark side of the moon, and it was just unbelievable. I mean, it was absolutely one of those scenic wonders that just, you know, boggles the mind. I had no idea it was going to be like that, and I walked outside and looked up, and it literally, my heart stopped beating for a few seconds. I was just like, oh, wow. But made me really want to have a good, powerful telescope to where you look at some of the, can't get all the, you know, real good resolution, but you can get, you can see quite a bit during those times.
I just ordered some new eyepieces for mine, and I hope they're going to get here real soon. Get me a little bit closer. I'm using a couple Barlows. I got a couple Barlows coming, which are magnifiers and stuff. But almost to double and triple the zoom. So we'll see if it works or not. I don't know. I've never used one, so we'll find out. But I so cool, badly man. Wanted to get up last night, and we had such cloud cover. It was just like a blanket over half of the states, I think, you know, and which is terrible. And but tonight looks a little bit better. It is patchy out there, so you know, hopefully I can get something in between, you know. We'll see what happens. But just so folks know that after the show, if you see me come back live again, that's because I'll be on the telescope doing whatever. So we'll see how it works. So, you know,
cool.
I've been chomping at the bit to get this going, you know. And
yeah.
And of course, this month in November, we're going to have a solar eclipse, you know, towards the middle or end of the month there somewhere. So I'd like to be able to catch that, you know, hopefully. We'll be able to do that, so that'd be pretty cool.
Right on. A solar eclipse, you say?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Well, lunar, you know, it's a lunar eclipse. It's not a solar eclipse. This is with the moon, not the sun.
Lunar eclipse. Yeah.
I'm sorry. my bad. Well, yeah, it's going to be a lunar eclipse that'll be coming up. So that'll be pretty
cool. Well, that's cool. That's the blood moon. That's what you'll
basically
see.
Basically,
the moon will turn just blood red. It's unbelievable. I've seen it a couple times. One time I was in, I think, Georgia. Another time I was in Texas. But and it's quite a sight, man. That's pretty cool deal, man.
Absolutely. Well, hopefully we'll catch that.
During the lunar eclipses, I've talked to a few people. Now, this has been years ago, but they said I've been told that they have seen some strange anomalies flying around the moon during like a lunar eclipse, and that, you know, to if you really want to see something, you can even see it with a good pair of binoculars, a good high powered pair of binoculars.
It's going to be really, really super chilly that night. I know for a fact it's going to be cold here. So hopefully,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
Hopefully it'll turn into a ice kebab or whatever you want to call it, a popsicle. Yeah, I'm gonna put some heat tapes on it. You know, we're gonna figure it out one way or another, but you know,
yeah,
we're gonna work. But it should be pretty cool.
Right on. Yeah, you get pretty cold up there, man. You're up there in the Arctic zone.
You know, I mean, it's like, are you kidding me? Of course, today it was what, 41 degrees, I think, and so it started melting down, and you know, icicles are now hanging everywhere, and it's like, wow, yeah. So
yeah, but
the ground's still pretty warm. I mean, it hasn't been that cold yet for the ground to be frozen or anything like that, you know. So it's gonna,
yeah,
you know, we'll get into some deep freeze.
Yeah.
Yeah. Norma says, put your telephone number so we can call in. I'm sorry, Norma. Yes, let me, I'll do that here in the comment section on the page here. If you like to call in, the number is 347-989-008. Here we go. 989-1008. There you go. It showed up on the screen there. There you go. Cool. So before I forget, I had a few things here I wanted to bring up real quick. And Bryn Foster, who a lot of you may or may not know about, he does a lot over in Bolivia with elongated shells and Puma Puma. In Tiwanaku, Bolivia, and all them areas over there. He has, you know, his Inca tours that he does and stuff like that. He's made a few posts about it, and I made a comment that I would mention it tonight here on the show. But he's coming to the U.S. In June of 2018. He's going to be in L.A., and then Irvine, and then Sedona. And this is all going to be in June. So hopefully, and I don't know how it's going to work out for me, but I put in for my vacation for June, again, for this year. And I wanted to go to Arizona last year, which, you know, happened. You know, lucky me, it was wound up in the hospital. But anyway,
yeah.
If there's a, I'm hoping I can catch up with him down there. I think that would be pretty awesome, you know. Maybe, just maybe, we can do a live show and get him on, you know, if I can get it worked out. I think that'd be
wow,
really
that'd
cool.
Be great. Yeah.
Yeah. Bryn Foster is an awesome guy. He does a lot of groundwork. He I don't know if you guys seen it or not, that one elongated skull, I know we talked about. He actually went and took it and had DNA testing done out of it, out of his own pocket, just to prove a point. You know, so far, of course, the test results have not come back yet. We're still waiting on them. But this is the kind of guy he is, you know. And he's like, hey, science, if the science community won't do it, we will. And that's what he did. And, you know, man, that's just cool.
Right.
You know, I really think that's awesome. So, I really think that's awesome. But great guy. I talked to him once before on a radio show that he did. I called in as a guest. And awesome, awesome guy. Just awesome. So, yeah, hopefully.
That?
Bryn Foster.
Oh, Bryn Foster?
Bryn
Forrester? Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's who you're talking about. I just wanted to make sure. Oh, yeah, he's
yeah.
I belong to his website. I'm subscribed to him, and you know, whenever they do that South American tour, and I go through Bolivia and Peru, and then they go down into the jungles of the Amazon. They've been finding stuff on the eastern side of the Andes down in the Amazon basin. They've been coming across ruins that are down there that have been hidden in the jungle, and hard telling what's going to be found in that area, what they're going to uncover.
Exactly.
You know, like Jeff was talking about, they're using the LIDAR imaging now, and he was the one, you know, you've heard me talk before about using LIDAR imaging and looking at Anchor Wat. And Anchor Wat had been thought for the last 100 years or so to have just been one temple, one basic huge temple complex, big square complex. Well, through LIDAR imaging, they found out that Angkor Wat, the temple, is just a small part of a huge network of of structures that are hidden under the vegetation and under the ground clutter. Through the LIDAR imaging, they found out that Angkor Wat is a city that covers over 200 square miles. Now, that there in itself is enough to blow the lid off of our so-called known history, what we're being taught. Because, I mean, when you look at Anchor Wat, and there's one show on the History Channel that takes apart temples, and they took apart, I only caught one show of it, and it was almost
America,
a year ago.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
But they take apart Angkor Wat stone by stone and show how it was built. And when you look at that, I mean, you take that in consideration right there. There is some high technology. They didn't just haphazardly throw these stones together and then carve it and then chisel them out with stone tools. No way. There is no way that could have been done. I mean, absolutely, it's impossible to have done that. And there was some high tech tools being used there to build that. You know, and that's only one place. Then you have hundreds of thousands of other locations around the world where this technology is being used, and, you know, the evidence of high tech mathematics, high tech art, not archaeology, but you know what I'm talking about.
Archaeology, it all comes together.
Well,
yeah.
Well, the archaeology, architecture, is off the hook. It's unbelievable. I mean, there's some serious planning and everything to get to do this stuff, you know. And we look at it in awe. A lot of people just look at it in awe and go, wow, they really did a good job building that. But in order to build something that perfect, in order to build something that prestigious, like the pyramids, we'll take the pyramids and the Mayan pyramids, for example. But we'll say Chichen Itza. I'll take the temples in Chichen Itza just as a prime example and just use that one. And there's hundreds of other locations in the Yucatan, of other Mayan cities, that literally hundreds. There's hundreds of cities and temples that are still buried under ground clutter that haven't been excavated, they haven't been cleared or anything. There's like I said, there's more. We have more to learn than what we know, of our past. We have so much more to learn, but. But the technology, in order to build these things, in order to build these structures, what you have to do first is you have to prep the ground first. That ground has to be perfect. It has to be level. So they had to have some type of shooting ability. You know, using a tripod and a transit. You know, they had some type of a transit set up. You know, to where they could do make the precise measurements and get the ground level just right. You know, you can't do that by hand or by eye. You can try, you can get close doing it by eye, but you'll never get to the point, because if you do it by eye, by the time you get up to feet above the ground, you're going to start seeing the imperfect part of it coming out. Either the flaws are going to show up. These things are built. Basically, none of them I've seen have any flaw to them. as far as their structure, how they were built. Now, some of them, some of them, like Pumapunku, was completely blown apart by some cataclysmic event took place and blew it completely to smithereens. You know, it literally blew it into...
destroyed by, you know, unsavory characters or something, you know what I'm saying? Or it was hit by an asteroid or, you know, something happened there.
Right.
You know, some people, it may have been the Ice Age. I don't believe that. If it was the Ice Age, a lot of them
The Ice Age didn't come down that south, that far south. The ice caps, the glaciers and stuff didn't form that far south. Now, I don't know.
No doubt about that. Tim, looks like we have Norma is with us. Oh, my goodness. Let's bring her in here. I'm sorry, honey. Hello, Norma.
Hi.
Hi, Norma.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
I didn't see you there, hon. I'm sorry. It was my fault. I had the other...
You know, I'm confused. I got a different voice coming than what's on my phone.
Oh, yeah, the live feed is coming in.
Are you watching the live feed also, Norma?
Yeah, I'm confused. I got the
That's what's happening. Catching the background of the live feed. There we go. No.
Are you watching the live feed also, Norma?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, see, that's what's going on. You're catching that delay.
What's happening? You're catching you're catching the background of the live feed.
Yeah, they'll throw
you off. I'll just keep my phone.
What was that there?
Yeah, see, that's what's going on. You're catching that delay.
Okay, I'm just on the phone now.
Okay, there you go.
That's what I had to do. I had to turn my tablet off.
Is Gail in here and Tamara Clark?
They're in the live chat. Yes, they are. Gail and Tamara. Yes.
Just wanted to say hi to them.
There you go. You hear that, Gail and Tamara? Norma says hello. Cool. That's cool. So how is Norma doing these days? You said you were a little sick or something the other day. Was it yesterday or the day before?
Yeah, I'm actually feeling better now, so.
Oh, that's great. Great deal. Good deal.
Good deal.
Good deal.
So what are we talking about now?
Well, actually, I'm going to bring something up real quick. We were, if I could find it again, I just removed my pencil out of my PJ. Oh, I'm so screwed up, I'm telling you. I know what it was. We were talking about earlier about, when the planet was formed and, you know, different species and blah, blah, blah. Did you happen to catch the post or the write-up by, I'm not sure if it was National Geographic or one of them science papers that posted this on Facebook. They did DNA on an octopus. And come to find out, this is pretty crazy. There's nothing that matches anything about an octopus they have in any data bank whatsoever. And when they did the background thing, you know, on how old they think species is, you're not going to believe this. They're claiming that this species is 500 million years old. 500 million.
God.
In hell, that would be the only species alive at that time. That would have been the first species ever on Earth. 500 million years.
Yeah.
Well, wait, not.
I mean, hello? Is it true? Is it not true? I don't get it, but this is coming right from you guys, you know?
There's just so much we don't know, you know?
and quite honestly, the octopus, when you really stop and think about an octopus, even squid and that, but octopus, they got to be the most brainiac thing that we've ever known here on Earth, brain-wise. They have to be the smartest animal of all time. Regardless, I mean, dolphins are smart, fish are smart, parrots are smart, you know, things like that, but you don't get as smart as an octopus. That is just way beyond intelligence, you know what I'm saying? That's alien. That's the way I look at it, seriously, you know? It's just crazy, you know? But 500 million years? That's like the beginning of Earth. I mean, that's like, you know, it just boggles my mind. I don't get it.
500 million years, that's a half a billion years old, and the Earth is said to be formed about 4.5 billion years ago. So
true.
When it was still forming, when the Earth was still forming, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Says, I can see that, but proof would be great. Lee says they feel, they love. Dolphins and elephants. Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a lot of really smart species. Like I said, you know, we got parrots that can talk, can count. You know, it's been proven. They think for themselves, you know. Monkeys, apes, chimpanzees, gorillas, you know, on down the line. All sorts of aquatic animals that are just smart. But when it comes down to it, and you really have to compare, I don't think you can compare to the octopus when you really stop and think about it.
Well,
they have
now get this. Now I try to wrap my head around this one time, man. It still boggles my mind. But you can take a 4.5 or 5 foot diameter octopus can stuff itself inside of a 2 liter bottle.
Exactly.
Did you know that? Because they've got no bone. They have no bone and no hard cartilage. So they can, the only obstacle they have for getting into it is their eyeballs. Their eyes are the only thing they have to, but they can squeeze them down and force them through the opening of a 2 liter bottle and get inside there.
Yeah.
A four and a half foot diameter octopus can fit inside of a 2 liter bottle. I'm like, holy cow! Yeah, you talk about their intelligence, and you talk about their intelligence, and then you see them how they are when they go to attack prey. And now they're all part of this, the other species with them. You have octopus, you have cuttlefish, and squids.
Right.
All three of them. And then, the nautilus is kind of in there too, but a nautilus has a shell. But they're still related. They're still basically kind of related in a way, in a roundabout way. But they can hypnotize their prey by changing their spots on their body. They can make them either big, small, change the color from red to purple to blue to black, change the patterns. Change the patterns to where it makes them it confuses the whatever they're going after, and then when they're going through when they're mating and they're going into their, you know, getting ready to do their thing, they start flashing each other with these colors that, you know, are supposed to excite one another. And when you see that happen, you cannot help but think of but see the intelligence behind that is off the hook. Yeah. I mean,
when
literally,
they said,
I mean,
I was just blown out of the water. I could not believe they did that. You know, and I'm like, wow, you know? Yeah, it was just crazy. But you're right. When it comes down to, like, changing colors and that, the thing that really kind of got to me about that, you had the octopus, and then, of course, you got, like, was the one land animal there, the, that lizard there, I just had it on my tongue. Oh, my goodness. What's that little lizard that changes color?
Chameleon.
The chameleon.
Yeah.
Chameleons. Yeah.
Yeah, they all can do that. You know, you set like a checkerboard down on the ground, and the octopus would actually, you won't see it. It's almost invisible. It looks like the checkerboard. Chameleon does the same thing. And then there's a couple other species, too, you know, that do that. And it makes you wonder if just that part of the genome that is shared through, you know, certain ones, you know, with that kind of thing. But who knows?
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's just crazy.
I don't know.
What's that, Norma?
I said it's a pretty amazing world we live in.
Oh.
Isn't it, though?
Definitely.
Absolutely. It sure is. Now, I don't know. Now, I'm not up to date on octopus. I mean, I know about them. I know a little bit about them, you know, blah, blah, blah. I know some of the amazing things they do. But do they regrow tentacles if they get cut off? Or are they like a frog or anything? Does anybody know? Anybody answer me that?
I don't know for sure. I think they do.
Does anybody know?
I've heard that they do. I like I said, like everybody's saying, I don't know for sure because I don't study that. You know, I don't study them, but I do remember hearing something about them able to grow back a tentacle if it happens to get cut off.
Yeah, I often thought
it
was the case.
I'm looking it up right now. It says an octopus can regrow lost arms. Unlike starfish, a severed octopus arm does not regrow another octopus. But the biological secret inside their arm regeneration feet do hold the promise of learning more about how we might better regenerate our own disease or lost tissue.
Right.
Huh.
Or it can regrow lost arms.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yep. I thought I'd read that somewhere before. I knew that.
Hey, you know me. I look up.
That to me is the ultimate species law. Think about it. You can change your color. You're the smartest thing on the planet. You can regrow limbs. And like Gail mentioned, Gail says that she heard don't die of old age. That something actually has to kill them. They're almost like forever a living species, you know. I mean, there you go. You know, too bad we all were octopuses.
Wait a minute. Are you ready for this fact? Here we go. Does an octopus have brains in their tentacles? And it says, but while humans keep the brain in one spot, octopi do not. They only have about 500 million neurons, which is 1/20th of what our brains have. The brain of an octopus works like an internet of brains. Their main CPU is only the size of a walnut, but each of their 8 arms carry pockets of neurons, too.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Wow.
Wait.
There you go. Yeah, that's a perfect, that's a perfect example to talk about an animal that with unbelievable amount of intelligence that it shows. You know, we know just having a small brain. We don't know how their actual brain works. But there's one, another one. Now, if I'm just going off memory on this. I don't have any notebook on me. I'm not looking it up. This is just off of my thinking of my memory. But jellyfish, there's a certain species of jellyfish that they've been studying because they can take one and cut a section of it off, and
right.
That small section becomes another jellyfish.
Right.
Wow.
Yes.
And the jellyfish that has the section cut off, it will grow back. It will grow that section that was cut off. It will grow that back. And the other jellyfish will grow into another yellow jellyfish. And they're trying to figure out. Scientists are beating their heads against the wall right now trying to understand this because it does not have a brain. There's no brain in a jellyfish. We don't know what we can recognize as being a brain. Now, what they are finding out is that their whole body is basically a brain. And with that being said, that opens up a whole new basket of ways of thinking and like you were talking about, helping us humans to possibly grow back a limb that's been lost or been cut off, or, you know, either due to illness or because of a wreck or being in combat, being in war. They can regrow.
We do have the ability for transplants.
Right.
We do have the ability to grow the Chinese or Japanese grew that ear on that guy's arm that time.
Yeah.
It was in his DNA, and they reattached his ear. Things like that, like I mentioned, our own skin, it does eventually grow back. I mean, it's scarry, but it does regenerate to a certain degree. Unfortunately, it doesn't come back fully like we wish it would. But I wouldn't doubt, honestly, if, you give us in a few more half a million years, maybe, maybe we'll be like that,
Who
knows?
I'm just curious.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, crap. I'm old. As fast as a thought goes in my head, it goes back out again.
I'm the same way.
Don't feel bad. I'm the same way, too.
Short-term memory is really short. I said.
You asked something about aliens. And that what you were talking about, but it just flew back out of my mind. I'm sorry.
That's okay. There's a comeback to you, I'm sure.
Oh.
Sean Smith says, kind of like George Washington, infecting soldiers, keep it spreading. How in the hell did you figure that out? Yeah. Good question. I don't know.
Yeah.
Real lucky guess, maybe. I don't know.
Supposedly he had some inside information that helped him to turn the tide because basically they were beat. They were up against the wall and they were fixing to fall, and then they turned around and ended up winning the battle and won the war. Talk about a comeback from behind story. That's the ultimate one right there. But
it's a well known fact that George Washington supposedly had ET encounters. And him and people like Ben Franklin and Thomas Jefferson and all them guys back in that day, as you recall, we talked about this a few times here on the show, that they did not want Christianity to be the religion here in the United States.
No,
because
they did not.
They believe in other entities from other universes.
Right.
And
right.
That's a well-known
exactly.
fact.
That's fact. That's a fact. Yep.
Not bullshit. It wasn't until later on that Christianity kind of took over and did whatever, but they, when they formed the United States and they, you know, did their independence and all that stuff, they did not want religion here. No.
Right.
Totally
no, that, Well, the original settlers came over here to America to get away from the persecution from the churches in England. You know, the Pilgrims are a perfect example of that. They were escaping systematic religious persecution of the Spanish Inquisition and all that stuff. They left Europe to come to the New World to get away from that and to form a new and better union. What is it?
Okay.
How's the preamble
yeah.
go? We the people, or the you know, the United States of America, in order to make a, in order
perfect.
To build a more perfect union.
Yeah,
that's part of the preamble. I don't remember exactly. I guess.
Okay,
you know,
here's
so much
here's where my craziness comes in. You're talking about the settlers that they taught us in history. But if you go way back to the Egyptian time, and I'm a firm believer in Atlantis, you can go way back to Atlantis escaping their area before the destruction, and those people spread out, supposedly, and started all the different areas, like, you know, the Egyptian area, and some went to the Incas, the Mayas, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could take this back years and years and years, and
right.
even still I think we go back far enough.
Right. I limit myself back 25 years ago. I was really getting into studying Tesla and Edgar Cayce and all this stuff, you know, and then learning about Plato and his visions of Atlantis and all that stuff, you know, and they all said that they sent out their noblemen throughout the world to go to other places to teach people, and some people even say, well, I've read that some people think, not all the archaeologists by far, but some of us say that Thoth, the god, one of the Egyptian gods, the god that had the head of an ibis.
Uh-huh.
He was an Atlantean. He
right.
was the one that brought knowledge and mathematics and all that to the Egyptians.
Right, I've heard that, yeah.
But he was supposed to be, supposedly he was an Atlantean. And then Shiva, the god Shiva from
right.
From the Hindus from
India.
In India.
Yep.
He was supposedly maybe possibly could have been a Atlantean, but
as far as the world was humans ago, and I'm just going to give you my thought on this, and I'm going to shut up. But places like Pumapunku. And I'm not including Tiahuanaco because it all came later. Pumapunku, the Great Pyramid of Giza. Not the other two, just the Great Pyramid of Giza. And possibly others that are in the oceans that, you know, we know about but we haven't been able to really look at. And possibly maybe a few of the Mayan structures and stuff like that. go so far back, and I mean way back, that you know, you'll never know the very beginning of those places and those people. I honestly believe they are way, way beyond the Sumerian culture.
Right.
And everything has been I honestly think that these things have been redone over and over and over again. We're probably fourth, fifth, maybe even sixth human generation, or, you know, I don't say generation, but, you know, established.
Rebuilding.
I agree.
Yep.
I honestly believe that.
I always thought that human history would only go back as far as maybe 30 or 40,000 years, and that was about it.
No.
Now, I've gone past 100,000 years, past 200,000 years, and now I'm looking at a million point five to 2 million years.
Yeah.
You know. And my way of thinking has changed.
Yeah. And here's the thing I'm thinking, too, that when those life forms ended, okay, let's go back, let's say 5 million years ago, along with the octopus, okay? Let's say we had an intelligent species back then. When they left or were destroyed or condemned or
lost.
Uh-oh. We lost him.
I know.
We lost our uncle.
Get back home again.
Oh, man.
You know what? I've talked to you before, but I can't remember your name. What's your name?
I'm Tim Collard.
Tim.
Yeah.
Nice to talk to you again.
Yes. Nice to talk to you too, Dawn. I remember talking to you at, it's been a long time.
Yeah, that's when he did that thing on Flat Earth, and I was joking with him about it. So.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. I just can't believe that there are actually people who think that there's people today, right now, who swear and be damned that the Earth is flat.
Sorry,
you're right.
I got dropped. But anyway, my point was I was going to make was that these people, whether it be 5 million years ago or whatever, were so intelligent at that time, you know, that we've lost that particular technology. We basically had to start all over again from scratch. I think that's happened more times than you'll ever imagine. I really do. Until us, you know. And this is why
I agree.
I mean, honestly, that's why I think all this stuff comes out. I think if you date those things, you know, especially the footprints with dinosaurs, you know, 65 million years ago, absolutely. I honestly believe that because I think there were women that lived then. I don't care what they're going to tell you. You know, they have no doubt about it. So we're probably fourth, fifth, sixth, maybe even 20th genome, for all we know, you know.
23 generation of technology, you know. Here we are in society today. We sit in our greatness, and everybody thinks that we're at the pinnacle of our intelligence, of human intelligence on this planet. And I can't help but it infuriates me. Because these people definitely have not looked beyond what they are being told. That,
exactly.
You know, I mean, I like using Petra as an example. The city in Jordan that's called Petra, was these buildings that were built, that were carved out of solid stone walls, solid stone cliffs. And there's not one chisel mark on the in the whole complex, and it's I can't remember how many structures there are total, but it's 20 or 30 structures that are there, and then they're carved out, you know, these they have these chambers and these rooms are opened up that the acoustic effect on the inside is one-to-one acoustics, the perfect acoustics that was, you couldn't just get that randomly. You cannot get that type of something inside of a room like that, inside of a stone structure. Because if you've ever been inside of a cave, a lot of caves have a lot of echo effects in them, you know. But you can go in there and you can talk out loud, and there's no, you can hear it like a through a reverb going through an amplifier, but there's no echoing effect. That's not echoing like you think would be there. That's to me. They didn't just do that by chance. They didn't come across that just by chance. That was done purposely that way.
I agree.
Same thing with the pyramids. The pyramids were built specifically to do a job, and now we're finding out through LIDAR imaging and through LIDAR penetrating radar that we have now, they're finding out that the Great Pyramid and all three of the other ones, to be honest with you, all of them. On the Giza Plain, or all three have sandstone outside covering, and then two different types of granite on the inside.
Yeah.
And now that granite is used because number one, the granite is used because it can handle high temperatures, it can handle the fluctuation. It will not be eroded or be changed by high frequencies.
Right.
So they had some type of, you know, they had something going on there. They had either microwave frequencies going on or electrical frequency being generated inside the Great Pyramid. For all those three things to be there, and then the way they're built, the way they're not just haphazardly, not just sections that are marked out. There are places where the structure, it has one. It's built one way, okay? They started off building it one way, and then they built it another way so that it would retain the ability to harness and generate microwave energies.
You got
because
it.
Because the type of crystal, the type of granite used, the pink granite that they used, is full of crystal.
Exactly. And crystal was what powered, supposedly, Atlantis.
Right, right.
Oh, yep. There's so much there that we're only scratching just the surface.
We're just a nick.
Yeah, we are just in the infancy stage of learning, relearning this, and, you know, of understanding what was going on and how it was done. But then I have pictures on my tablet that I gather from all over the world, but I got this one picture. I'll sit there and watch it and just study it for hours, and it's an aerial photograph from about 1,500, 2,000 feet above the Giza Plain, looking down on the pyramid.
Yep.
Right?
And the structures that all the other structures, the way the where the you can see right where the Sphinx is at. You can see the enclosure where the Sphinx is. You can see how the pyramids were built, how they're shaped and how they're set according to each other, you know. And they do resemble the three stars in the belt of Orion. That I will say they do resemble that. I don't know what that means. I'm not really going to go into that because that's a whole new deal. That's another deal there, you know. But around the outside perimeter, all these little structures that looks just like a electrical PC board. It looks like electronic PC board.
Always said that. And do you know they're finding pyramids all over the globe? It's not just the ones that we know of. They're finding more and more all the time.
Yes, yes.
Yep.
And you know something? This is something that I've been studying is North American structures. And then I go into I happen to be on this rant right now where I've been watching Star Wars movies, and the Star Wars Rogue One, the Star Wars movie Rogue One, where the Battlestar fires for the first time down on the city of Jedha and destroys that city from the Death Star. With their laser beam, with their earth killing beam. I've been fascinated by that and wondering if that wasn't done here over the area of North America for some in some distant past. Some type of technology was used like that, and if that wouldn't have been what could have formed the crater at Winslow, Arizona. And I look at that, and then I look at it, and I look at it again, and I went, holy cow, oh my gosh. I mean, it just started opening up things. It's just like opening up a book and reading chapter after chapter. It just starts unfolding in front of my eyes. Wow. When I get that excited about something, I can't, it's hard for me to talk about it because I get ahead of myself of what I'm trying to say, but it is something that I'm like, holy cow, is that, and the possibility, and then I look around, we're looking at all these structures, these old, ancient, very ancient human-built, hand-built structures in New Hampshire and Vermont and Massachusetts and in the New England area, and then all the way down the eastern seaboard, all the way down and into Georgia. There is a pyramid that's in Georgia that the Bureau of Land Management have got armed guards around there keeping people from getting in that area. You cannot walk into that part of the woods, and it's a national forest, and they will turn you away and keep you from going in there because there's a pyramid. There is a pyramid in Georgia, people. There's actual facts based that there's a Mayan pyramid that is in Georgia right now.
Matter of fact, if you're in the Ancient Aliens group, a guy posted about that particular thing right there that we're talking about right now. He posted it today. And talks about moving there.
Cool.
He does something pretty cool. You brought that up. Yep.
But see, there's too much. There's too much evidence showing that there was a high tech society here in North America long before the Native Americans lived here. That there was something else that was here. And then I look at a lot of. Then I do the comparison of a lot of American Indian their heritage and their lineage, and you look at them, you look at the old pictures of them, and they don't look like they're from China, or they don't look like they're Eskimo, they don't look like they don't look Indian at all. They look European but they're tan.
But I do want to say, I'm retired now, but when I was working, for a big part of my life, I was a sales rep, and I used to have to travel everywhere. And I can't for the life of me remember where I was, but I know this was a good 10 or 15 years ago. And I was driving in a particular area, and it was like a real rural area, and I came across this mountain, and I was driving around the bottom of it, and I looked up, and it was all covered with trees, and I thought, Jesus, that's a pyramid. And I looked at myself, and I thought, nah. And I'm like, yeah. And I would have remembered where I was, and I live in Pennsylvania. But the thought, and it was clear back then, I thought, I wonder if there are these things buried all around. Now, they're supposed to be in China and buried. Mm-hmm. And I honestly think, thanks to Google Earth, or however you say it, we can kind of find right. these things. But they're all over the world. I think it's not just what we were taught or what we know.
No,
there's
no, you're right.
No.
You're absolutely
yeah.
right.
I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what. Norma, I've been living in Northwest Arkansas, and I live in Northeast Oklahoma. But I've been living in this area for almost 20 years, and I drove a truck. I drove a truck for a good many of those years. And there's one area down outside, just west of Fort Smith, Arkansas. If you go west Interstate 49. It used to be Interstate 540. But you just keep going on that, it turns into Highway 12, turns into Highway 9. But you stay on that, and you just go west out to this area, to the town called Spiro. And before you get to Spiro, about six, 7 miles east of Spiro, you can see the Spiro Mounds. You can see a couple of them. And there's one Spiro Mound that is it's a pyramid. It's a pyramid that has the top cut off. It's a pyramid that doesn't have a top on it. And I looked at it, and I've looked at it, and I've studied it from different areas, and I've talked to people who live up there, and they've all told me that that mound is square or rectangle. It's got 90-degree turns on it. It's actually a couple of these guys have gone hunting up in that area, and they've walked around that particular mound that I'm talking about, and it's a pretty good size. It's a pretty good size structure. But it's covered up with foliage and everything. It looks like it's been covered up with rubble. And so they just call it a mound. Nobody, there has not been not one archaeological dig. There has not been any. Because you can't. You know, the Bureau of Indian Affairs now won't let you go into these areas and do any archaeological digs around these ancient, supposedly ancient Indian structures. Well, I don't think they're Indian structures at all. I think that they were there long before the North American Indians ever lived there. That they were buildings that were there that are now covered up, or they could possibly be buildings that have crumbled into just piles of unrecognizable rubble now. Because if you take our biggest buildings we have in New York City, all those buildings, if all the human beings were to leave the face of the earth, what would be left of, what would be recognizable of New York City in 5,000 years? What would be recognizable? Would there be any? There would not be one recognizable site. There would not be one. There would be no building standing. There would be just piles of rubble. All that there would be is piles of rubble. And what we're finding around these Indian mounds, they're built out of rubble. Now, to me, that's a lot of labor-intensive work. That's slave labor to build these mounds. And the history of the Indians have never once ever talked about slave labor. There's no slave labor at all in any history at all of any Indian tribe in North America. So that tells me right there, okay, so what makes sense to me is that these are not mounds that were built. These are piles of rubble that's left over from buildings that were what they once were. And now with us not being able to go in there because they're set aside as national landmarks, we won't know anything until we get access in there to do some excavating and do some digging around there and see what we can find, see what we can come up with. Because I think, I not only think, I know we're going to find something there. But the powers that be are going to do their best to keep us from getting in there, because that's no way.
I agree.
You know, it won't be until the younger generation takes over, and
right.
that's when they're going to start making the changes. But, folks, I hate to say this, but we are out of time already. Of course,
we've found
too much.
No way.
Dang it. But I'm gonna be back here tomorrow night. We got a few days off before I have to go back to work. So we can pick this back up again tomorrow night, right where we left off. So please,
cool.
everybody,
cool.
come back. And,
hey, can you
know,
send me a reminder?
Absolutely. I do that personally.
We're on there.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely, I can do that. Unfortunately, Facebook don't let me invite my friends like they used to. I have to kind of go through and, you know, just tell by please share and do whatever. And but I will send you a regular invite, Norma. So
you send
I'll do
me
that.
An invite, and I will tag a bunch of people.
Okay. We'll do that. Cool. Alrighty.
Right on.
Okay.
Cool.
Love talking to you guys. Have a good night.
All right. Love talking to you too, Norma. All right. Good night, dear.
Good night.
Good night. Good night, Clarence. Good night, buddy.
Good night. Thank you very much. Okay. All right. Keep an eye out here in a little bit. I'm going to go out and see what the skies look like. And maybe we'll get the telescope out and get it up. And hopefully we'll do another live stream. So just kind of keep ducking back and forth. Because it'll and I'll send a big message or whatever. So we'll see what happens. We'll play by ear. But in the meantime, great evening and thank you all, Tammy, Gail, all of you that are on there, Christina, everybody. Thank you very much for being on the live feed and being with you. much love to you all. Yes, thank you. In the meantime, keep your eyes to the skies. So that's what we're going to try to do tonight, right? All right. Thank you, everybody. God bless. Good evening.
I want to thank you all for listening to Closer Encounters. Please remember to like, follow, and share. And until we meet again, keep your eyes to the skies. Thank you.